I was on Instagram. Yes. I think this was November.
Ah, now I know where we're going.
Yeah. Was it November?
It was November 29th.
And you posted something very vulnerable.
Yes.
And a lot of people have asked about it.
Yes.
And been curious about it. And
yes.
I think that this is probably, and I brought it up in the car because I was like, is this something that we're talking about?
Yep.
And so I'm not ultimately putting you on the spot.
Welcome
to my house.
This really is my house.
Glitter and gay.
Coming your way.
So thanks for tuning in. Today.
No. But it's so funny that we talked about, are we going to talk about this? And we didn't even put it on the list.
Right. Because
so maybe
like,
that
was work its way in. But I think that,
yeah,
I think like it needs to maybe be a standalone.
Okay. Yeah. So we can definitely talk about it. For those of you who don't know, who are listening, I stopped drinking 8 years ago and it was a conscious decision. It was something that I just literally stopped cold turkey. There wasn't any therapy. There wasn't any meetings. There wasn't any anything. I just decided one day I wasn't going to drink anymore. And for almost 8 years, I didn't drink. I was actually in Europe. I was in Spain and everybody drinks there.
There's, the Spain trip over the summer?
Yeah.
The right Spain, after I was at your house?
Yeah.
Oh.
The Spain trip over the summer. And I can't remember, you know, what how it was that I came to have this champagne, but I ended up having this glass of champagne. And I was like, oh, I put a little water in it and it was like, oh, okay, like it was okay, no problem. And I was like, you know what, maybe I could actually like drink like a normal person, you know. Then I was actually in the Hamptons with you and we were the second day at the Hamptons Classic and we're at this table and Brooke Shields is next to us and I think we'd come over here this morning or that morning and here I'm sitting here with this like Emily Tisch. I'm like, oh my God. And here's Brooke Shields and, you know, here are all these people. And I asked Nancy. Nancy was our server at our table. I said, oh, I'll just have a sparkling water served in a wine glass. She's okay, honey, let me get that for you. And she goes, would you like for me to put a little splash of wine in there for you? And I was like, nobody will know. Take the edge off a little bit.
Wow. I didn't know until this exact moment.
Yeah, I'll be fine. No problem. So I did. And then I had a second glass and it was fine. No problem. Okay. And then I go to an event, super uncomfortable at this event. Again, oh, just a little splash with my water. Nobody knew. It was fine. I didn't buy a bottle of wine. I didn't buy a case of wine. I didn't buy a bottle of, you know, beer. That wasn't what it was. I wasn't like drunk in my bathroom. I wasn't, you know, passed out, anything like that. But what I did notice was that I was looking forward to being able to drink. I felt like it was a really slippery slope and I felt like I wasn't better than kind of leading up to all this. So this was June, this was September, this was October. And I was like, oh no, the anniversary is going to come up.
When was your anniversary?
November the 29th.
Oh, for some reason, I thought it was like November 8th.
No, it's November 29th. Okay. So it's coming up and I'm thinking to myself, I can't lie. I can't post. I can't post it. If I don't post it, like I can't, you know, what am I going to do? And I'm struggling and for some reason, whatever was the reason, Victoria was with me all day long that day. Just me and her, not in the office. It was just me and her. And I was like, oh my God, she's going to be so upset. She's going to be so upset.
Victoria's your daughter.
Victoria, my daughter. Because she was, you know, Victoria saw, you know, she witnessed the worst of it.
Right.
And disappointing her and disappointing the people that followed me and then disappointing the people who stopped drinking because of me, I felt like this huge, huge, huge failure. But there was just no way that I could post. I just couldn't. So I ended up posting that I didn't make it. And you got to keep in mind, nobody knows. Like, nobody knows. Like, I haven't talked to Victoria. I haven't talked to Lucas. I haven't talked to you. I haven't talked to Elizabeth. Like, no, like I post this on my social media, and my phone is forwarded, and Victoria, her phone blows up. I mean, there are so many calls. And she is like, sends me a message, call me right now. And I call her, and she's like, you need to talk to me about this. What is this? I mean, and she was so upset with me and I was just devastated. And there was one person who sent me a message And he said, regret is the most wasted emotion. He's like, stop. Regretting it isn't going to help you. It's like the guilt, just you put it out there. Everybody knows. No more guilt to be had. Just keep moving forward. Mm-hmm. One foot in front of the other. You can restart today. And so many people that are in recovery, so many people that have chosen not to drink, so many people that care about me and love me were like, I'll come sit with you. Call me when there's a problem. I'm available anytime. Let me take you to lunch. So many people reached out and nobody knew because I didn't give any details.
Right. When you get that level of that many people reaching out, so many people want to talk about it. It's the last thing you probably want to talk about. Oh. Right. And so I remember when I reached out to you, I was like, she probably is getting bombarded and doesn't want to tell this story 50,000 times.
And I sent
today.
You a message. I can't talk.
Right.
And I think that was the thing that most people didn't really get, was that I was dealing with this horrible, terrible shame around the failure of it. But what helped me so much was so many people were like, hey, like it's okay. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, let's figure out what's the situation. Where are you? And it took me about another 5 weeks, 4 or 5 weeks, to kind of pull myself out of it. And you know, I haven't been drinking. I don't want to drink. Mm-hmm. It was a good reminder for me. It was a wake up call that it's not right for me. For whatever reason, drinking for me is just a slippery slope.
Yeah.
And I'm not my best when I'm drinking.
Oh, no.
It's just us.
Although I've never seen you drink.
Yeah.
Because you quit drinking before our friendship started.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm watching you take a drink right now.
Well, I know.
A little Pellegrino.
It's just not right for me. Mm-hmm. And no, I haven't entered into any program. No, I haven't gone to therapy. No, I mean, there's not a reason that I'm not avoiding that. But I just decided that it's probably that drinking is not the right thing for me.
Yeah. So I guess April 15th will be 4 years since I last took a drink. And I remember right up front that it was kind of like my secret that I wasn't drinking. Like, yeah. I totally kept it to myself.
Yeah. I never told anybody when I stopped.
Yeah. It was just kind of like this thing that I don't do. And, you know, and then I was really struggling with like setting boundaries around it when I was out. And, because I was like, people know me as somebody who drinks. And so they're surprised. They're like, why is Tyler not drinking?
Right.
So I felt like this like weird pressure that was only coming from within, because,
right,
you know, the truth of the matter is if somebody says, can I get you a drink? You can just say no, thank you.
Yeah.
And that's like probably been like the easiest thing for me to learn over the last 4 years. So I can just say no, thank you. And 99% of people are like, okay. Or and replace it with, I'm like, yeah, can you give me a Diet Coke? Or yeah, can you give me a club soda?
Yeah.
But I remember at one point feeling like I needed to make like a formal announcement, you know, like an I don't drink anymore. And I don't regret doing that, you know, but this was on my mind since before I saw your post of like, you know, like, people relapse, people slip up, and, you know, and I started to really understand why, like, a lot of people are anonymous about their relationship with alcohol, because it's nobody's business but your own, right? Like, your sobriety is your sobriety, and whatever that looks like to you is what it looks like to you, and it can evolve, it can change, but a lot of people are not going to understand it, no matter what you say.
Yeah.
And a lot of people are going to have strong feelings about it,
yeah,
no matter what you say. And over the last year, Thank God I didn't take a drink, but it was like piercing to me when I saw your post, because it was the closest I came, and it happened so many times, you know, and like those first 2.5 years, I was rock solid.
Like
I just would not, no. I would not have gotten close. And then this last year, any emotion made me think about it. You know, I was like, oh, things are really hard right now. When I was injured, I was like, I just kind of want to like lay around and drink wine all day. And like, you know, I'll go back to not drinking after I've healed.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, you know, I was like, but I would like to get plastered in bed, please. I was like, I'm not a threat to anybody in this bed. You know, for some reason I didn't do it. I remember I was on a flight and I didn't know anybody. And, you know, and I was sitting in first class where the drinks are free, and I've got, that's always one of the places where I'm most tempted to drink is on a plane.
Oh, wow.
And that's one of my places, because I used to love getting saucy on the plane.
Oh, wow.
And so I remember as I was like boarding the plane, I had kind of like decided, I was like, I'm going to drink on this flight. And it's just going to be my little secret.
Nobody will know.
And nobody will ever know. And the flight attendant. Walking down, and I was decided. It was like, and nothing, I was having a neutral day.
Yeah.
You know, there was nothing wrong. There was nothing right. Yeah. I was just like
was
on my way.
Wrong.
I think I was actually on my way. Was I on my way to New York from Florida? I can't remember. But there was nothing. There was no trigger, is what I'm trying to say. And I was just like, I'm gonna drink right now. We're gonna see how this goes. And I remember the flight attendant got to my row and she's like, can I get you anything to drink? And I looked up at her and at the very last second, I was like, yeah, I'll take a Diet Coke. And I don't know why, because up until I said Diet Coke, I was thinking Sauvignon Blanc.
Yeah.
and so that moment happened. And then, you know, it just happened over and over again. And there were so many times that... I think one of the reasons I didn't drink was because I felt like there would need to be some sort of formal announcement.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. I felt like if I did drink, I would have to, because I was like, I'm going to have that moment where somebody's going to want to talk to me about sobriety and what my journey has been like. And I'm either going to have to say like, hey, I actually, my journey's not so perfect, or... And I think that accountability was the only reason I didn't start drinking again. And... You posted and you get flooded with love and support. Mm-hmm. And I put myself in your shoes of, I was like, if I was her, I would not want to be, I know it's so nice to get all this loving support, but I was like, I don't want to have to talk to everybody about it.
Well, I felt so, all of the love and support only made me feel worse.
Right. Because felt like you let those people down.
I'd let all these people down. And, you know, when I stopped drinking, I didn't tell anybody, oh, I stopped drinking.
Mm-hmm.
I just didn't drink.
And then you wrote that letter.
But actually, that letter was in a very closed, private group, the 5 a.m. club that I guest moderated. And it just so happened that my guest moderation day fell on that 1 year day.
Mm.
And I had only that letter was literally what I had written to say just within this very closed group, this private group. And when I finished with it, I had so many messages. I mean, granted, there's 6,000 people on the call, so it's not that closed and not that private, but it is closed and private because the only people on that call it were that. And so what happened was that I got so many calls from that was what got me to post it to begin with. And then every year I had gotten so many people that would call. And when I say, oh, I've gotten so many people, I'm not saying that to brag to you. I'm just saying your story can impact somebody. You never know who or how many. But every year I would get somebody and they would, you know, say that they'd stop drinking because of my journey. And so I just felt like such a fake. And this is the probably the one thing, the one misconception is nobody will know is the one biggest misconception, because the only person that knows is the most important person, and that is you.
Yeah.
And you know. And the guilt and shame that surrounded me knowing and not telling was horrible. And so when I put it out there, I put it out there so I didn't have to have the one-on-one conversation with you or Victoria or Lucas or Elizabeth or Evelyn or anybody else. And that kind of backfired. But ultimately for me, thank goodness it did not get out of control. Thank goodness I didn't put myself in a situation where I couldn't pull myself back out of it. Thank goodness I didn't put myself in a situation to hurt myself or hurt anyone else. So,
can I ask you, has it changed, you know, moving forward?
Yes.
Has it changed whether or not you will be public about your relationship with alcohol or anything like that? That's deeply personal.
You know, Tyler, I think that that ship has sailed.
I don't agree. I've stopped talking, and this was before you posted. I've really stopped talking about it unless I'm directly asked, then sure. But like, it's, I haven't been posting on my anniversaries. I haven't been, you know, and I think it's because for me, it's personal. And because I've started it, and it was, I was reminded of it when you posted that, because my friends were reaching out to me and they were like, is Glenda okay? Right? Because they automatically assume that because you drank, your life must be in shambles. Right.
Right.
Like, you must be falling apart.
That is what everybody, they were like, oh my God, what was it? What triggered you? What happened? Like, what was it?
Right. And it's none of their, it's none of their business.
But everybody thought that there was some big, huge trigger, like that my life had fallen apart, my business had fallen apart, my kids had fallen apart,
right.
My business had fallen apart.
People and formed these opinions.
It wasn't anything like that. It literally was, I was in Spain and got served a glass of champagne and I think it was at dinner or something. And I thought, it's just a glass of champagne. I'm in Spain. I'm going to be, it's no problem.
Yeah.
And literally that's all it was. And then it made me think like, oh, wait a minute, maybe I can have a healthy relationship with alcohol. And what I realized very quickly and very clearly was that my relationship with alcohol is not healthy. Number one, for whatever reason, who knows what that reason is. It's not. It doesn't make me a better person. And I am 100% committed to what makes me a better person. That's where I'm focused right now. Chronologically, I have less time on this earth than you do. And my ability to be the best person that I can be moving forward is critical, and it's urgent, and it's immediate. And I just don't feel great. I mean,
right.
More than anything. And that's the thing that was so crazy was like, I don't feel good as good. I could like feel it.
Right. How are we doing on time?
We're good. We've got, we've got about 5-6 more minutes.
Okay. Because it has been on my mind a lot. And I am in this space right now where I'm just like, you know, the journey is my journey. And if somebody really wants to talk about it, right? And I feel like the journey is your journey. But because of all the reasons you just said, it like drives the point home. Is I was like, people who don't get it, don't get it. And the assumptions are often incorrect around like what's actually happening. And
yeah, but Tyler,
But we help people by sharing it.
We help people by sharing, but the people who reached out to me, the people who commented, the people who texted, called, DM'd, you have no idea what that did for me.
Oh, I know.
I'm
not trying to discredit
my
that.
Heart exploded. I mean, who gives a shit if some 57-year-old real estate agent in Atlanta, Georgia slipped and is no longer and now she's drinking? Like, who gives a shit? Who cares? There were thousands of messages, thousands of comments.
Mm-hmm.
And it goes to show you the good.
I'm not questioning that. My thing is, no, because it is good. It's so good. My thing is just like the unnecessary pressure it puts on the person.
It does.
Who has, that's what it's about for me.
Yeah,
and like, is that worth it? And then I look at like somebody like Brené Brown, right? Because she doesn't drink, but it's not like a pillar of, you know, her story.
Vulnerability.
And her messaging. Yeah. Like she doesn't, I think I've heard her talk about it once and it was more somebody kind of like directly ask her and she's like, no, I don't, you know, but I don't think, and I don't know this for sure. I don't know her, right? But like, I don't think if Brené Brown slipped, I don't think she feels like she owes that to anybody.
Yeah.
And I don't think she would feel like, you know, she was just like, yeah, she's like, for the most part, I don't drink.
You know?
And I actually got, and sometimes this is not great, but like I read through your comments because I was like, I was taking it all in and like, and somebody, I think a few people said it, but I specifically remember one woman saying, she was like, what I've never understood about sobriety is this wild obsession with getting so many days in a row.
Yeah.
And she was like, she's like, can't you just celebrate the time away from alcohol and be fine with it if you slip up every now and then? And the reason you can is because for many alcoholics, that one sip is a spiral that could lead to them dying, right? And like, and so that's the story that we hear. That's the story we worry about. And, you know, and it could be us, it could be anybody, but. Yeah. It's just, I think I'm at a spot where it's going to be a little bit more of like, this is my journey. And if somebody wants to have a very honest conversation privately with me to see what the journey has been like, then I'm down for that. But, you know, I just, the pressure is, you know, when you make it part of your public life.
It's so much more. It when you make it part of your story, the responsibility is just so great.
The responsibility can make me go drink.
Yeah, it is. But you know, I have to say, you know, John Cheplak, who is a real estate coach, I don't coach with him. I've had the opportunity to meet him because we've spoke at many of the same conferences. He was the one who sent me a text message on my phone and said, stop. Regret is the most wasted emotion. Stop beating yourself up. And that was one comment that resonated very deeply with me. And I have, and it resonated with me on many different levels. And I have said it over and over and over in my head. Because I think that as you go through life, you know, it's hard not to have regret. I've always tried to focus on, I don't have regrets, I have reflections. And just reflecting back on that time and that period in my life, I learned as much from slipping back as I did from stopping.
Of course. Pineapple.
Yeah, it is a pineapple.
Pineapple. I was like, I'm not going to be clever about my pineapple.
Do you know, and I'll close with this on the pineapple note. When I did drink, I was in a pina colada contest that I won.
I fucking love pina coladas.
What we gonna do? Subscribe, share, rate, and review.
Like, share, rate,
subscribe,
review.
In whatever order you like, apparently.